Zoe Buchbinder, can you please introduce yourself to the listeners?
Sure. Hi, I'm Zoe Buchbinder. Nice to be here.
So, what kind of music do you make?
I write songs. I mostly play guitar, so some would call that singer-songwriter. Some would call it folk. Yeah.
Okay, and you are currently on tour here in Europe.
Yeah.
Where have you been already?
I played a couple of shows in Spain and then flew to Belgium. And then I've just been around Germany, one show in Poland, headed back to Belgium and then to France next.
Okay. And today you are playing at Leibniz House 2 or Leibniz House 2 here in Tübingen. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. And I've already read your biography, which is on your website, and that was very interesting. You were originally born in Canada.
Yeah.
And then moved to the United States.
Yeah,
with your parents.
When I was a kid. Mm-hmm.
What was that like, being on tour at that young age?
We were traveling around in a trailer. Maybe that's why it's very comfortable for me to move around so much now. What was it like? I mean, I have three siblings, so there's four of us, so that made it easier. I don't think I felt lonely ever. But I definitely missed my friends and the house that I lived in up until I was 4 and a half. Yeah, I remember really longing for those things a lot, even though our life was pretty exciting.
You have a sister that is a singer-songwriter too, or makes music?
Yeah, we were in a band together for 5 years called Vermilion Lies. That's how I started
okay.
my music career.
On your biography, it says you're like a junk show evangelist.
Oh, God.
Can you explain that to me? Because I don't know what that means.
I wrote that so long ago. I really need to update my bio. I don't know what it means.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know.
All right. You want to talk about your project? You were in prison?
Sure. In 2010, I went to New Folsom Prison, which is a maximum security men's prison in California. And I thought that I would just go that day and play a few concerts inside, and that would be it, and it would be an interesting experience, and then that would be it. I really had no idea what I was getting myself into. And I played three concerts inside. I played two in libraries, and the libraries were small and didn't have a lot of books in them. They had signs about not touching the books, but not a lot of books. And then I played for men in solitary confinement, and we were in a pretty small room, and the walls were lined with cages, and the audience members were brought in one by one and put each into an individual cage, and I played to them while they sat in these cages, which was a really strange experience. And when I left that day, I knew already that I would be back again and again. And I think I could tell that that was a really life-altering experience. I went back many, many times over 5 years. And so for the past almost 10 years, I've been putting together an album of songs that are either collaborations between me and someone I worked with inside, or just a song written by someone inside that that either I play on the album, or there are also many guests on the album singing and playing.
How was the reaction of the prisoners to your playing?
To my playing?
Yeah.
Oh, really attentive, respectful audience, always. some of the, yeah, some of the best audiences I've ever had. They express a lot of gratitude for my music and my presence there. I haven't been inside in a few years, which is, I had to give it up, which I could explain. Yeah, it was really great to play in there. And there were often a lot of really specific questions about my songs, which also really showed me how much they were listening and, yeah, grateful for what I was offering, mm-hmm. which always feels good anywhere.
And how did the collaborations develop?
It started because I was doing a project with a dance company, and the dance company was often picking like a political or social issue to address in their show. And they wanted to use me as a musician, and they wanted me to compose something for them. But they wanted me to pick the topic since I was writing the material. And so I was trying to think about something I cared a lot about and wanted to say something about. And I thought prison, because prison was on my mind a lot because I was going inside a lot. And at first I was trying to write the music myself, and then I realized that I had access to all of these musicians and writers inside, and it made so much more sense to use their work if they would let me, which they did. I mean, not everyone, but I just asked a few groups inside, and I got a bunch of work submissions for that, and a couple of songs came out of that project. So I didn't know back then that it would become this whole album. It was just a couple of songs, and then I started playing those in my shows, and they got really intense reactions. People were really interested and seemed like very, very receptive to hearing stories from the inside, and it felt like a really important thing to share, and like a really positive way to share stories from the inside, because it's hard to get information from inside prison. You know,
obviously.
Yeah
Which kind of music did they bring to the album, or what are the influences?
Many kinds. So many kinds of music, because it's really, yeah, people with really different backgrounds and ages and cultures. So the album is really, yeah, there's folk music and blues and rap. There's sort of like punk rock. And there's poetry. Yeah.
Great. So you have met there in prison, I mean, some singers and songwriters, and you have made an album in cooperation with those people, right?
Yeah. It's not released yet, but yeah.
Yeah, great. And last year, you also made a tour around the Europe, I guess, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And this year again, you are on tour.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes you to do this tour again to Europe, not to the other part of the world?
I don't even know. I guess just because it feels like familiar. I know how to do it now. So, and I think it makes more sense to return to the same places to build an audience than to constantly be starting from zero. So that's why.
Maybe before we can maybe hear a song from you live here, one question. You made 100 songs in 100 days.
Yeah, you want to hear one of those songs?
That's, of course,
that's really inspiring. Actually,
you want to hear everything. How was that like?
It was really hard. I cried a lot in frustration because it was really, I hadn't ever tried to force creativity before, which was part of why I did it, to see what would happen if I did. And it did change my relationship to songwriting and creating. Now I know I can just make a song if I want to. And I might not love it. I don't love all the songs, obviously. And at the beginning, it was taking like 4 to 6 hours for me to write a song. And by the end, of course, like, you can't sustain that for 100 days. I have other things to do. So by the end, I had it down to maybe 40 minutes. I could write a song.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah, it's very quick.
Did everyone ever done this before you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Definitely.
That you know of?
Yeah, well, so there's like a popular thing that people do in January. Different artists of different mediums create a something every day for the month of January. I knew about that, and then I also mostly was inspired by this artist who, man, he used to go by Paleo, but I think when that diet became very popular, he may have changed what he goes by, but I'm not sure. Anyway, that's what he used to go by. Maybe he still does. Trying to remember what his actual name is. And I don't remember. But he did something where he wrote a song every day for a year.
Oof.
And then after that year, he continued every Sunday. And like what I did, he recorded the songs every time and posted them on the internet on his website. Yeah, I was mostly thinking about his project when I thought, I don't want to do a year, but let me do like some really impressive number.
Yeah, sounds impressive. Isn't the risk very high to get like in a routine, like in a bad way, which is like a factory work to make a song?
Yeah, yes. But I'm pretty picky and particular, so I didn't let myself do that. It would have been easy to create songs that all sounded the same, but I tried really hard not to do that. I did some things within the process, like 1 week I decided to, I can't tell if this made it easier or if it was sort of an extra challenge. It was both, maybe, but I wrote songs that were less than a minute long for 1 week. Which is pretty hard, actually, to like, you know, start and finish a story in 1 minute. But, yeah, I did that for a week. And then for the last, like, 25 days, I think, I decided I was tired of coming up with new topics because it was really, really hard to come up with new things to write about every day.
Yeah.
I just don't care about that many different things. A lot of the songs are about the same things. So I wrote a musical at the end because it was easier to make up a story and have the songs all tell one story all together.
Did the musical, like, did you perform it?
No, I never have. I think about it sometimes, but I think that there are more important stories to tell than that one. It was very rushed, obviously. I've thought about maybe working on it more, but it doesn't feel like the thing I want to do. Maybe one day I'll do a musical, but probably not that one.
You wanted to talk about another thing, like patriarchy, isn't it?
I could talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to. Is it a big part of your tour?
I do talk about it on stage every night. partly because there are songs that I'm playing right now that are about patriarchy. I guess the specific ways that I'm talking about it and the ways that it's coming up in my life right now is I'm thinking a lot about the ways it impacts me in my career, the opportunities I don't get because of it. And I also recognize that what I also talk about is that there are lots of opportunities I do get because I'm white. But because of patriarchy, I get less opportunities. So both things exist. It's complicated. But one of the things that patriarchy creates is this false sense that there is a limited amount of space for women in the music industry. Even if there are a lot of us, we still feel like we have to be fighting each other for this space. And so there's a lot of competitiveness and feeling threatened by each other and instead of supporting each other. And I see it all the time. It's really hard to watch it happen and also know that I've been a part of it for years. And so more recently, I'm focusing on whenever those feelings of competitiveness come up for me, I do something to support whatever woman I'm feeling threatened by. So I'll post a video of hers or... usually it has something to do with social media, or I'll share a contact with her. Like, that's one of the things that we're very protective of is, oh, well, I have this person's contact from this, you know, whatever show that I played with so-and-so famous person. But I'm going to protect that because I don't want to give it away. So that's something I'm actively practicing, not doing. I share the contacts that I have and support the women around me as much as I can, even when I'm feeling threatened, because the threatened feeling is just a symptom of patriarchy, and it's not based in anything valuable.
And what exactly are the threats? Is there, like, in which situations do you feel threatened?
Just by basically any time one of my female peers has success, that's one of, I think it's an impact of being in a really competitive field. You know, we can't all get famous. In that way, there's only space for so many people, but I don't think that protecting our access or not supporting each other is a solution to that, particularly with women, because it doesn't make any sense. But the competitiveness exists more so among women.
But it's a general problem in the music industry, right? The competitiveness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not only, even more for women, I guess. Yeah, but in general.
Yeah, even more just because there's even less opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. What are the reactions of your audience on that topic?
When I talk about this on stage, my female musician friends are generally very grateful that I'm talking about it, because it's something we all feel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm voicing something that I think I was afraid to talk about for years, because it feels sort of shameful to have these competitive feelings. So, and we've all seen it, even if we're not taking part in it. We've all seen the ways that women are more tearing each other down than supporting each other. So I think people are grateful that I'm talking about it.
Giving a voice, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hannah?
When I looked at your website, there's for every point a little picture. And I think it's very creative. I never seen something like this before. But do you draw this, or what is the idea behind this?
These pictures.
My friend drew those. I do draw, but I didn't draw those. My friend Glass Olive drew those. the idea. Geez, I really just needed visuals for my website. And she had drawn all of those images for a t-shirt that I made, and so I just sort of recycled them because I didn't know what to do.
Sometimes it's that easy. That easy. Yeah. So we don't have much time left. Unfortunately, we could talk about half an hour longer. Then, thank you for being here on the show.